back. WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into football season. I'm headed to the Super Bowl. All of our Super Bowl coverage brought to my friends at the Maryland Lottery. We're going to let ourselves play on the West Coast the week of February 6th. That is now confirmed that I'm going out to L.A. with the mask on, and we'll have many celebrities. 28th Super Bowl for me all these years, and I'll tell you, my sports fandom, and my last name's Aparicio, so I kind of come at it honest with Luis in the early 70s and whatnot, but my sports fandom was made full by my love of baseball cards and football cards in the mid 70s. My parents take me shopping, not at Wise Markets. We didn't have Wise Markets back in 1973, but down at Stemmer's Run, we used to get the basketball cards, the football cards, the baseball cards, and the flip packs. My dad was a huge baseball card collector, had a leftover 1965 and 66 set with banged up Hank Aaron's and Willie McCovey's that I would collect. So this next segment will come at it honest. Mel Lundgren, those of you up in the Bel Air area know about Bel Air sports cards, been there a number of years now and doing some stuff, but it's National Hobby Month. And I can't say my hobby's baseball cards anymore, Mel, but I found some moving around and straightening out the radio station, straightening out my life, my real life. I had a lot of programs and ticket stubs have been my thing, but I come at it honest. I always love sports collecting. It's probably the root of me starting WNST and being a sportscaster and a sports radio guy all these years. But you've taken something that I would have done when I was 12 years old with Jay Finglass at Jay's Nostalgia World and setting up my little table at the Holiday Inn Cromwell Bridge right now near my radio station out of Lock Raven Road when I was a kid in 1981 and 82 and 83. You've made a life of this, man. If you would have told me when I was 11 that I would have had a sports card store like my buddy did over on Eastern Avenue, Campbell, back in the day, I would have said that was a life well led. So congratulations on selling and being involved in the sports memorabilia business. Great to have you on. Mel Lundgren joins us now from Bel Air Sports Cards. What's going on up there north of the border in Harford County?
Well, we're just looking forward to customers coming in and opening up new packs of football, baseball, basketball cards. We sell a lot of Pokemon. We just have we have a real unique concept up here. It's you mentioned back in the 70s and 80s going into the corner stores and the mom and pop places to buy cards. And, you know, that's the way it was when I grew up. I vividly remember my first card experience was going to an IGA grocery store and getting a 1967 rack pack with six packs for a quarter. So my collecting started back in 1967, and I still have my original 67 set that I built with those racks that were six packs for a quarter. So really enjoyed collecting.
Career rookie, 70, 67. Yeah, yes, there you go.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. High number Brooks Robinson, real hard card to get. Great sets. Got the Mickey Mantle, the, you know, Roberto Clemente, Mays, you know, has a lot of the big
names. I had those cards, man. And listen, I had Mark Miller on, my buddy from Blondell Miller Schuler, who I grew up with. And he remembers me being the kid in the neighborhood. I had in my parents' little house on Bank Street in Dundalk, we had this giant card case. It was metal. It weighed 500 pounds. It had all I had pictures of it, and I had all my cards in there. My dad bought a box of the 1980 tops. That was sort of the zenith, and Ricky Henderson rookie and all that stuff at that time before Ripken was a rookie. I mean, I stopped collecting cards in 82, right when Donruss, Fleer and tops were all bang. If all those Fleer errors and the Bump Wills and Craig Nettles and like all of that stuff. That was a part. And well, the Bill Ripken back came a little later on, but in 80, 81, 82, those were years where I was 12, 13, 14. All the kids would come to my house and trade cards. My dad and I would like get on the bus and go to Highland Town and buy collections for $50 and bring them home and sort out the 73 Ray Fosse's, my dad's favorite player. And all that. I remember it vividly, and I had Mark on last summer because during the plague, and I sold a bunch of stuff through hunt auctions. I had a whole bunch of rock and roll memorabilia that just – I was afraid it was going to get wrecked. So I wound up auctioning some of my stuff. I still have some of my stuff. But the cards themselves were the genesis of all of this and my love of sports. And anytime I follow these old Twitter things and they put a 72 Burt Blylevin up or something like that, and I see the cards, it brings me back to my youth in a way that – Mel, only the 67 Rec Pack can bring you back in that way. Yeah. There really is a sense of nostalgia, but now the value. Mark came on last year and he told me that a George Brett rookie sold for $4,000. And I'm like, dude, I had three sheets of those purple and green and 75s that were hard to keep, and the minis and like all of that. And I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Like, I should have kept my baseball cards, Mel.
Yeah, you should have. You definitely should have. So during the pandemic, the card industry did just the opposite of what most other businesses did. The card industry flourished. People were, you know, looking for something to do. They didn't have any gambling opportunities. They couldn't go to games. They couldn't go to tailgates. They couldn't go to the bars. They couldn't go to the bowling alleys. They couldn't spend money anywhere. And people were really looking for something to do. And a lot of people, you know, all ages were going into their basements or garages, or, you know, guys were going back home to grandma and grandpa's and, you know, or their mom and dad's, and going in the attic and basements and getting their cards out, taking them back home to their house. And everybody was, you know, basically being homeschooled or at home, not working, you know, work from home. And people were shut in and they were looking for something to do. And cards just seemed to be a natural. You couldn't see sports on, there was no sports live. So people were living their sports needs through cardboard cards. And the total sports industry just ballooned during the pandemic. And it peaked about March of 2021 is when it was probably at its pinnacle. Now the roller coaster is starting to come back down and it's starting to level off and things are starting to be a little bit more affordable and a little bit more realistic. But you know, as all these people came out of the woodwork and were like bandwagon collectors, just getting back into it or jumping into it for the first time in a long time, what happened was, due to, you know, everything that was going on with COVID, supply and demand became a real issue. So the demand for new cards was, I mean, nothing like we'd ever seen, but then being able to have the suppliers supply them was the problem, because the plants were affected by workers calling out and shortages of material and all sorts of things that, you know, COVID's been blamed for, affected the industry. But some way, you know, at our store, we managed to flourish. We always have inventory on the shelves, and, you know, we were drastically affected. We were shut down. We were told, you know, no public sales or no in-store business. You know, we had to shut the business down, but we were able to operate with, through Facebook advertising, through our social media things that we have in place. We were, I would drive up to a mall parking lot and sit with my SUV full of cards and open the trunk and or the back end of my tailgate and just sell cards and tell customers I was going to be there. People would show up with masks on and, you know, buy cards from me. We would do a curbside pickup. We did a lot of curbside pickup. We weren't allowed to have people in the store, but that didn't stop them from messaging us, you know, on Facebook, placing an order and calling the store, placing an order and, you know, saying they would be there during our pickup hours. And we definitely kept the product moving to the customers. And our business definitely flourished during that time. And, you know, we're seeing some leveling off right now and some sensing and adjusting, which is fine. But, you know, overall, we have a lot more of a regular customer base now than we did pre-pandemic. So, you know, we've lost some, we've gained some, but in the end, we're still on top. So,
you know, at one point I had a 54 Hank Aaron that was all ratted up. I had a really like sort of VG excellent 55 Clemente back in the day. I had a mint 70 bench, tough one. You know what I mean? I had a really nice 71 Carew, you know, like, so I remember the cards and I remember the history of all of it. I come into your store, am I going to see some of that sort of high end stuff, or is
yes.
It's, tell me about your favorite cards, because I the 52 Mantle, you know, whatever. I mean, I had seen those. I remember being, and I remember this vividly. I did three card shows. Jay Finglass used to do a big thing in June, 80, 81, 82. I had a table at his thing. And that's, you know, I'd walk out of there as a 13-year-old with $1,000 because I sold cards. I mean, and people wanted the cards I had. And I wasn't like a dealer. I was really a collector. I was a kid. But I remember that day they auctioned a Mickey Mantle, 52 Mickey Mantle, that auctioned for $100. And it was like unheard of. I mean, at that point, the 70 bench was a $25 card. You know, it was like outrageous. That was 100. I guess the Honus Wagner thing was big even then, right? We all knew what Honus Wagner represented even 40 years ago. Where is that market for those cards? I remember some of the ones I mentioned. And I know Mark Miller came on, my friend from Blondell Miller, telling me about these $4,000 75 Bretts that were kind of easy to get. I always thought that about like the Henderson rookie or the Ripken, any of those kind of McGuire back in the day and all that. I thought those cards came out in the 80s. They were mass produced. But those things in the 50s and 60s, I always really did feel like the 62 panel cards that were easy to mess up, or the 70s or something. If you cared about it being mint, I always thought that those kinds of cards that were tough would always be tougher. But I never thought these cards would be worth $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 the way this market has gone.
And neither did I, to your point, when I was collecting in 67. And I mean, I got really heavy into it in 67, but I probably really started in 64, 65. But my prize is the 67 complete set that I made as a kid. So that era of the 64 to 69 is, some of my favorite cards. You asked about that. Couple of favorite cards I have. Some guys like the rookies, and I mean, yeah, I would love to own a couple of Mickey Mantle rookies or a couple, you know, Honus Wagners and things like that. But for me, some of the best cards are their last card. Like you take the Mickey Mantle 1969 Topps card, and you turn it over, it has his whole career. It has everything. It has every year his stats. It has his average. It has it all. And my favorite player is Clemente. And in Clemente's last card, he tried
to call him Bob on it, or they go back to calling him Roberto at the end.
They went back to Roberto.
Yeah, I remember 72. All right. Yeah.
Yeah. So he has his last card, which actually was in 73.
73.
Has the stats on the back. And, you know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in his last game of the regular season in 72, he got in his last at bat his 3,000th hit. And then he passed that, you know, that New Year's. So when they made his 73 card, it has his stats from 1972, which shows his 3,000th hit. And that was, you know, in his last at bat. So, I grew up in Erie, PA.
Yeah, I got your accent. Your accent's Western PA. I don't know what it is, but I got that. And then I got the Clemente thing. Probably got a few Stargells in there too.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. 63 Stargells. And I was, it's kind of unique. My background's a little, it's all over the place of where I lived and that, but I run this store here in Maryland. And of course the O's and the Ravens are, you know, the hometown homers. Everybody loves their Ravens and their Orioles. And, you know, I'm near the store owner, and I'm a diehard Pirate fan, so that always gives us a lot of conversations.
Well, you're suffering like the rest of us then, but you got the better of 71 and 79.
So. Yeah, I'm suffering now, but we always seem to circle back to those couple World Series victories.
Speaking of circling back, I once had lunch with Bert Blyleven. I know Bert a little bit, and you know, he and I got into it about 79, and, you know, he allowed me to wear the ring, or offered. I don't know that I really touched it. Same thing with Grant Jackson, amongst some other guys back in the day. And I have nightmares about Omar Moreno's wife, to be really honest with you, all these years later. Mel Lundgren is here. He runs Bel Air Sports Card. He'll be telling us about the big event they have at Card Mania and his card bar and National Hobby Month and all that. But I love card so much. I love the 74 set, and maybe Aparicio was last year, although it probably had nothing to do with that. Hank Aaron, you know, on the card and hitting the home run and all that. I just love the way they looked, and those are my favorite cards. And they had the Washington Nationals, San Diego Padres, McCovey and Nate Culver, you know, like I remember all Randy Jones and all that. I love the 74 card. That was my year. Don't ask me why. Some people say, well, they're ugly. Well, I prefer to 72 or to 73, right?
Well, you asked if you came in a store, what would you find? And the store is definitely different than probably any card store you've ever walked into, because we have what's known as the home of the card bar. And we have an actual 36-foot long bar. This picture, like walking into Dave and Buster's or Buffalo Wild Wings, you have the big bar with the TVs on the back wall. And then they have all the alcohol and everything in the, you know, bottom shelf, top shelf, middle shelf, you know, setup. We do the same exact thing with carts. Beautiful. So we have our boxes of cards, our wax packs, our boxes that you can buy. And I mean, customers will come in and whether they're looking for 10 cent, you know, cards from the dime boxes, whether they're looking to go back and remember their childhood and open up some of our, you know, we probably have 100, 3,200 count boxes full of vintage where you can go through and look for 73s, 74s or any year, basically from about 50. Yeah, we even have some, we have a good amount of 52. So we're pretty good shape from 52 up. Definitely don't have the tobacco inventory or the tobacco card inventory, but you know, if you're going to call 52 up, we're pretty good for the baseball and football starts about the 60s, 59 up. We're pretty strong in that. So
how much is the Bill Ripken card worth these days?
Just the regular air card, you know, ungraded is around $15. So.
Okay. So I can own that pretty cheap. I'm just trying to think of like fun little things I could buy. Not the 52 mantle, not, you know, not a 70 bench. I'm just talking about things. I have a 1974 or five Bob Trumpy card that somebody gave me when I did Dump Trumpy that's still pinned to the radio station wall that I found. I was a Sixto Lescano fan. So over years of my career, I've been 31 years now on the radio, right? People have brought me all sorts of six to 11. A lot of Aparicio stuff. My Aparicio cards were all stolen from me. I don't know. One of my employees stole them. They were at the radio station at some point. They're all gone. I still have my Heartland, but my Aparicios, I had every year. He autographed them all. They were all stolen from 56 on. Some of them were mint or nice or whatever. I had like the 58 was like had holes all in it because I never worried about spending $14 to replace it. But first off, when you're related to Luis, you collect that stuff, every coin, every Kellogg's crack 71, like all of that, all the all-star cards. There was a high number 60 or 61 all-star card of Aparicio that I always had a hard time getting because it was like an $80 card even back then. And but I had them all. My friend Mark Miller, he's a Brooks guy. So he has every, you know, his thing was like, I want to have a 57 Brooks that's mint every year, have mint Brookses through the years. I would think the mid-70s probably aren't that hard to get at this point. But collecting people, you're a Clemente guy. People come at this very differently, I think, because you can't have everything. When I was a kid, I thought, I'm going to have every card from 52 up. I'm going to put them on the wall. And I probably could have at that point, right? Because it was available. I already told you I had a 55 Clemente. If I could get that, I could probably get my hands on anything beaten up. But making sets, storing sets, all of that, it's something that you can do for a lifetime. Like literally go back and if you want to pick up a Tom Chopé Common or a Jim Fuller from 1975 because you remember him, these are – even if you want a Bill Ripken, $15 card, you can have it. It is attainable to some degree that if you want to be involved in this and have fun with it, it's not an, you don't have to be a millionaire to collect cards.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's gotten a little out of hand. I mean, to your point, you can definitely collect. There's different types of people in the hobbies. There's collectors and there's investors. So, you know, a collector is somebody that remembers, like, you know, you're remembering your childhood and all the fun that you had with it. And, you know, we have a lot of fathers and grandfathers bringing in their grandsons or their sons and, you know, and getting them started in that basically collecting. But, you know, during this last couple of years, the prices of cards have gotten, it's been a challenge. Let's say to keep the modern stars. You know, you have a young kid coming in wanting the Lamar Jackson football rookie.
Now, what's that?
Not a good one, couple hundred dollars. You know, so,
really?
Yeah, it's you can
now
get.
Now you are investing at that point, right?
Yeah,
I mean, that's almost Bitcoin. Like seriously,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. So I mean, things have definitely changed. I mean, you can open up packs of cards, and if you're lucky to get, you know, what we call the raw Lamar Jackson rookie out of the pack that hasn't been graded, then, you know, the first thing everybody's doing now is they're looking at it for the quality of the card. You know, how are the corners? How are the edges? How's the surface? Because they have a mindset of, well, it's going to be worth five times more if it gets graded a PSA 10. And then, you know, they sit there and they weigh the balance of, is it worth sending it off to get graded? And, you know, what are the, you know, what's the risk and reward if I send the card out and things like that. So, you know, the card collecting industry is, you know, it's still there for the hardcore collector. I mean, we have a lot of people that come in and go through our dime and dollar boxes, and they love it, and we love it. We love them because they're helping us move some inventory that we've acquired over the years. It's just sitting there. But the rush on the modern cards and the new releases is something like you wouldn't have experienced in the 70s, because you could basically go to any corner gas station or anywhere around and find cards back then. And now it's a lot different. So hobby stores get what are called hobby release products or hobby only products. And those are always in high demand on release day. I mean, it's not uncommon for us to have half a dozen people waiting outside the store on, you know, opening day, on opening at 11 in the morning on a Wednesday, just because they want to get the new release right away, stuff like that. So it's definitely,
see, I come at it differently, right? I come at it from the historical perspective, but the real serious thing is kids and adults are still want a Patrick Mahomes card, right?
Literally, oh yeah. Right? And that's, you know, and that's just it. You know, you get the parents and the grandparents calling on the phone saying, I'm looking for a gift for my grandson or my son. And well, what are you looking for? He wants an autographed Pat Mahomes rookie card. Well, that's like a mortgage payment, you know? So, you know, are you prepared to, you know, lay out that kind of money? And then, the card companies aren't making, I mean, some will say that they're overproducing the cards right now. And I'm going to say, well, if they're overproducing them, I don't know where they're all at, because the store owners that have hobby accounts, we're allocated. We only get so many, you know, boxes or cases of products to sell. And it's, we always run out. We have to go on the secondary market and pay an upcharge to restock the shelves, which then changes the price again. So
I'm showing your card bar here just so everybody can see your website, belairsportscards.com. Tell everybody about the event you got coming up here, because Card Mania is happening. And we talk about, you know, new players, old players. I never understood the Pokemon thing or non-sports or collecting Happy Days or Laverne and Shirley cards or whatever. Star Wars. I remember that was a big thing back in the day too.
Yeah.
I didn't collect any of that kind of stuff, but there's more than just sports involved in this. Card collecting business.
Absolutely. First, about the Card Mania event that we're having. It's going to be on February 4th and 5th. We're going to host it at the Hartford Mall. Our store is 2000 square feet, but for what we're wanting to do and what we're going to pull off and do at this event, we needed a much larger venue. So we, unfortunately, the mall's got a lot of vacant storefronts right now. So we went in and signed a short-term lease for a week, and we have an 8,000 square foot storefront that we're going to use inside the mall to run Card Mania. And Card Mania is going to start on Friday the 4th.
I love that it's indoor, because you get weather conditions.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't get these athletes, and, you know, as you know, cardboard and cars don't, you know, they need to stay dry and everything. So, but, you know, there's a little bit of the title of my Card Mania sometimes is, I think maybe is a little misleading, and, you know, lessons learned. This isn't a card show. This is more about us doing things in the community with the youth. We're promoting heavily 500 free grab bags for the first 500 kids that wear a youth sports shirt in. So if they play any type of youth sports from, you know, any of the surrounding communities, and they come in wearing a jersey or a T-ball shirt or whatever, first thing they're going to get is a free grab bag. Over the course of the weekend, we have three athletes signed up to do autographs. We have, you know, this is not a traditional sports card. It now is, because it's new. It's AEW wrestling, All Elite Wrestling. It's a new wrestling circuit that's out there. You know, there was a WWE, and a lot of these people left WWE and have formed AEW. And we have one of the top stars, Darby Allin of AEW, coming in on Friday night to do a live appearance. And not like your traditional autograph shows from back in the 80s that you might remember, where everybody stood in line and you kind of, you know, went up to the table and the guy looked up, you handed him your card or your poster, he signed it, you were shuttled off, and the next person.
Oh, we're familiar with FanFest, right?
Yeah. So this is, we'll still have part of that. We'll, you know, part of our experience will be like that, but we've added some extra dimensions. We have these behind the bar experiences with the athletes. So what will happen is we'll have a makeshift 36-foot bar set up with bar stools and everything. And if you buy the elite ticket, then you basically get about 15 to 20 minutes with the athlete at the card bar. You're going to open up packs of wrestling cards that he's in. If you pull one of his wrestling cards, he's going to sign it right there on the spot in front of you. You get a photo op with the athlete, and then you still get another premium ticket signed, or another item signed. So this is, we did a small show like this back at our store in December, and we did two of the Oriole prospects, you know, Grayson Rodriguez and Heston Kierstead, you know, from the Orioles came in, and it was amazing the response we got from the community and the public that participated. Both of the players were great behind the bar at the store. They were talking it up. And if you pulled, you know, somebody's card, you wanted to ask Grayson about throwing to that guy, I mean, Grayson could tell you, oh yeah, I pitched to him and he's a tough out, or, you know, I mean, it was just a lot different than doing some of the other things. So, but this is a 2-day event. It's going to be indoors, and we have lots of games for the kids to do. We're going to do Papa Shot basketball. You participate, you can win. Everything we have set up is you win cards for. And you buy these carnival tickets, and then you participate. And we're doing some fundraisers with the Keep Punching Foundation. It's a cancer nonprofit that we're teaming up with. So, you know, we're just trying to give back and do a lot with the youth in the community.
Mel Lundgren is here. He is Bel Air Sports Cards. The event is next weekend. You can go on up to Hartford County. You can find it at belairsportscards.com or add on Facebook as well. I've really enjoyed talking some old school memories with you. You're making me go find my Sixto Lescano cards in the mid-70s is what I'm going to have to do now, as well as my old jersey. I hope to get up there and visit with you at some point and see the card bar, and maybe I'll bring up some of my leftovers for you. Maybe I can find some of those old Aparicios up there. How about that?
Well, I'm going to look for some Aparicios for you. So please, if you can make it up, that would be great. I'm sure we have some at the store. So it was great talking to you, and look forward to seeing you in the future.
Hey, I appreciate it, man. I love the old collectibles. Anytime I get to talk about my youth, my misspent youth collecting.
You're very passionate. You're very passionate about it. I appreciate that.
No, so. I love it, man. We'll come up there, have some fun. You can hold some cards up, and I'll say, that's a 58. That's a 69. I had that card. I had that card in mint. Mel Lundgren is here, Bel Air Sports Cards. Go find them out on the internet. I tell you what, we're doing our Wise Conversations here. We're going to be taking it to the Super Bowl. We'll be full coverage from Los Angeles, as they say. I'll be masked up in the ballroom, probably eating some good food and soaking in the California sunshine at SoFi. I am Nestor. We are WNST AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore. We never stop talking Baltimore positive.